Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with two major Christian counseling giants, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Henry Cloud, joining me today in the studio, 1-800-229-3000. We're glad you're with us here today on New Life Live.
I've struggled with depression my whole life.
I'm hanging in there.
That does not sound good.
I have a problem. I came across some pornography a couple of weeks ago on television, and I watched it.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
It affects them in different ways, but still, it's a bad thing for their hearts and their souls and their minds.
Anyone saying that that family of origin, horrendous sin, is irrelevant to be dealt with is an idiot.
The act of sharing it will take the punch out of it. Keeping it a secret makes it more magical. It goes into the realm of fantasy, and that does set you up. Marriages need to be protected.
Hi, everybody. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Dave Stoop, and Dr. Henry Cloud in studio today. And Dave and I just accomplished something together. You know, we've had the Life Recovery Bible out for 11, 12 years.
Yeah, at least that long.
Mm-hmm. Almost 2 million Bibles out there, and we just finished the Life Recovery book. We just turned in the manuscript, which has something on each step. It's got Bible studies and stories.
400 pages of manuscript.
400. I don't think I've ever turned anything 400 pages. Anyway, that'll be out in about a year. But it's such a sense of accomplishment when you get something done.
Mm-hmm.
And we just did it a piece at a time. It was kind of nice to have 12 steps because we could divide the steps and then you're just doing a step at a time versus some strange concept.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, what you're hearing rattling in the background, Henry's brought crackers into the studio. He doesn't even know we're on the air yet. But, you know, we'll take them. We'll eat them at the break. Thank you, Henry.
Right.
Appreciate that. All right. 1-800-229-3000. We're glad that you're with. You know, Thanksgiving is coming up in just a couple of days. And maybe it's a good thing if we give you some hints here on how to get through Thanksgiving with your relatives. And one of the things we always say is don't try to accomplish lifetime goals over Thanksgiving dinner.
That's for sure.
Just doesn't work.
Just lower your expectations and say, I'm just going to enjoy the people this year and observe them. You know,
No agenda.
If you got somebody weird in the family, just say, well, yeah, I'm just going to kind of see how they behave this year and see if it's different from last year.
And sometimes you want to up your expectations, right? You've never gone in expecting Uncle Harry to be a jerk.
Yeah,
you always go and think everything's going to be okay. Yeah. Exactly. So if you go in and you expect them to do crazy things, then you'll just be okay because you're not looking for anything different.
There was a great old movie called The Dead, and everybody, you know, you think it's some horror movie. It's really a James Joyce story from the Dubliners, and the whole movie is about a dinner party. And it's emotional deadness is what it's about. But everybody does dumb things, and it's a riot to watch. So if you could do a Thanksgiving like that, well, just like you said, you know, expect some funny things to happen, some dumb things, and enjoy them.
Okay, I got two words that'll help you survive any situation. Amused detachment. You go prepared. You're going to see it. You're not going to engage in it. And you're going to be able to smile inside because you knew it was going to happen. It was predictable. And you don't bite. And it just gives you such joy that you can see what years past hooked you in and got you upset.
Right.
Amused detachment.
I think God is kind of doing that sometimes.
I sure do.
Looking at humanity and going, well, you know, it just doesn't surprise me. I saw it coming.
What else can you expect?
But I still can't believe it.
Yeah. I think God has amused detachment sometimes, and sometimes not. Definitely sometimes not.
Remember when he repented that he had made humans?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty serious.
Why did I ever do that? Then he started all over again.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll go right to your phone calls here today. 1-800-229-3000. Glad that you're with us today, 2 days before Thanksgiving. By the way, we've got Healing is a Choice in January 20th through the 22nd. What a great way to start off the new year. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Dave Stoop, and Dr. Henry Cloud, and always glad to get to do the program with them. They've been around the block a few times when it comes to Christian counseling, and we're so, so grateful, or I'm grateful, that I get to do the program with them.
Well, we enjoy doing it too, don't forget.
Well, I hope you do. Yeah, I'm thankful for you guys. I tell people all the time, you know, if I'm judged by the people that I work with, I come out ahead. I mean, really, it just doesn't get any better than this. So Thanksgiving is coming up.
Speaking of being around the block, you know, people don't know, like, the wealth of the treasure of, like, when Dave shows up. Dave was kind of around, not that you're old. I mean, you started when you were 3. You're only 27 now. But you have been around the Christian counseling world now for a really, really long time and have seen a lot of different fads come and go.
That's right.
When Dave shows up, you know how the Bible says, I'm serious. Well, you're over there laughing. No, I'm serious about this. Mm-hmm. That you see people, like, they kind of come and go, and they're on, you know, they get this fad, and they write this book or whatever, and then they're gone.
Right.
But Dave is one of the elders.
Yeah, you are.
In this whole movement.
What was like when you first started out, Dave, way back then? What was the land like, the lay of the land?
There really wasn't a Christian counseling genre or identity out there. There were Christians who were interested in psychology, like Vernon Grounds was at Denver Seminary, and Don Tweedy and some others were at Fuller, and they were starting. And I was, I was around during those days, so they had an influence on me, and it's been fun to watch it emerge and expand and be what it is today.
Yeah, you were there kind of when the field actually was formulated.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Dave was laughing. I was dead serious.
Okay, Dave was there in the beginning.
And he doesn't look any different than the day we met him. Right?
And watched it form, but Henry, you and John shaped it.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. Mm-hmm. You shaped a big part of it, and I think that's, you know, I mean, when I was able to make the decision who's on the national program, I mean, that's why I wanted you guys on, because you were the shapers. And so grateful to both of you guys for what your contribution has been. There are people right now being helped in Christian counseling offices around the world because of the contribution that you guys have made, and you just can't. You can't smile that away. It is the truth.
I'm sitting here laughing because I remember being a graduate student looking for something to do that had some kind of experience. And so I show up at this church, and Dave is starting the lay counseling program.
And I latched onto you.
He gave me an opportunity to be, you know, one of the facilitators before I even knew what empathic listening was.
That goes back 30-plus years.
Where was it? What church? Mariners?
South Coast Community Church. Okay. Yeah, the predecessor to Mariners. Or no, I guess it's not. Something about that.
Well, let's go to the calls. Let's talk with Sue from Albany, New York. Hello, Sue. Welcome. Listens on WBAR. How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is about the holidays. I'm literally scared to death to get to together with my kids.
Really?
Mm. Yeah. They're both adults. One of them has a mood disorder, and they're both very angry with me. I'm on disability for depression and anxiety, and also because of things that happened from the time I was born in my family of origin.
Okay.
And my son, when I try to talk to him, or even if I don't hardly do anything, he gets furious with me. And
is he the one with the mood disorder?
Pardon?
Is he the one with the mood disorder?
No. My guess would be OCD and depression, but I'm not a professional.
Okay,
and
so where does all this come from? Where does that anger and all come from?
The son says that I'm not there for him for what he needs as a mom. There also have been some horrible things that have happened.
How old is your son?
Lives.
Yeah, how old
is your
he?
Son?
He's almost 30.
And he says you're not there for him now, or you weren't when he was growing up?
Now.
Now?
Well, that's interesting.
What does a 30-year-old want a mom to do?
I sure would like to know.
Well, I'm curious because
bills and feed
I don't know him, you know, but I would tell him that at 30 years old, and it may be true, Sue, I don't know you either or the grown-up years, it may be true that you were not there and didn't give him what he needed in his formative years. Who knows? We don't know that. But I would tell him this. Even if that were true, he's not going to get that from his mother at 30. That never works.
Mm-mm.
And what any adult has got to do is the Bible says to make a shift. And the shift is that you unplug from parents as a source of anything, and you make a return where you start to love your parents and give back to them, and you have your needs met by your community. That's what the body of Christ is to do. And so if he's still looking for mom, you know, to provide something other than understanding and maybe saying, I'm sorry, and gosh, I didn't mean to fail you that way, or whatever it is, for that to take place in terms of reconciliation. But what's important is that he grow up and learn to establish a spiritual community where he gets his needs met.
He will not get into that at all.
Well, if he doesn't
prayed for that. But
okay, if he doesn't want to get into a spiritual community, he still needs to get into a community of friends that meet his needs and provide the next stage of his development. And you know, I would, you know, I'm sitting here fantasizing you saying to him, you know, just get over it, my son. You know, you're a man now. You're not a kid, but you don't want to do that. But my guess too is that you operate out of a lot of guilt over what you weren't when they were growing up, and that just kind of leads you down that path of responding to that and giving credibility to his statement, you don't provide my needs. And somehow you've got to say to him, you know, it's not my job to provide him anymore. You're an adult. You're a man. And you don't want to be a mommy's boy at 30. So I would say you got to start building a good network of friends that you can draw from and learn from and move forward in your life and get married.
That he does. Okay. I was a good mom. I did have some anger issues, and I have apologized a zillion times and been specific with both of them about that. But there also was a very nasty, elongated divorce.
Let me ask you this. What is the question for us in all of this?
The question is, when I see my kids and when I talk to them, I'm just so nervous. I'm afraid they're going to get angry at me, and
hold on a second. I think if you go into this kind of fearing that they might want something that you can't give, or they might criticize you, or this, that, and the other, where you're needing something from them, like you're needing them to not do that, or you're needing them to appreciate you, or whatever it is, then...
Mostly not do that. I would love the appreciation, though.
Okay, but listen to what Henry's saying.
But hold on
listen
a second. You can't control whether or not they're going to do that. So, of course, you're going to be nervous. You know, anything that we try or anything that we need to have happen that we can't control. That's kind of the formula for anxiety, right? So what if you went in there and your goal was not to need them to not do that at all, but your goal was just to listen with whatever they show up. And you don't need them to not be angry. You don't need them to not be upset. And whatever they show up with, you just empathize. Say, gosh, I am so sorry that it feels that way to you.
Or I hear you.
I hear you. And you just empathize.
I have done that.
Okay.
Quite a bit.
Okay, well, all right. So what are you nervous about then?
When I say that?
Yeah.
Well, the sun just continues at a very high obsessive level. I mean, it can go on a half an hour, 45 minutes, longer.
What if you, and I don't know what your fuse is for this, but, you know, somewhere along the line, you're hearing him say, I understand that. And he says, yeah, I know you just said that. I get it. What would you like from me to do? And you show him that you hear it, and then you quickly go to, tell me what you want me to do.
Okay.
And pose a question.
I like that.
And then if he starts to kind of rail again, whoa, stop. I've already heard you. I am sorry. What would you like from me to do? Tell me what I can do.
That puts it back on him.
Yeah.
Usually when I try to say something, I definitely will do that. That is a good idea. Good ideas don't always work with him, but I will try.
Whoa, stop it, Sue. You just did it again. We can't control what, quote, works with him.
Right.
We're not worried about what he's going to do. We're worried about Sue. So this will work for Sue.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if Sue says, what would you like for me to do? And he says, whatever. You know, whatever the response is that you're saying doesn't work with it. Then you return to him and you say, so what would you like for me to do? See, that response will work for you.
Uh-huh.
And then if he continues past your limit, say, you know what? I'm trying to hear you here. I'm trying to give you what you want, but I don't want to talk about this anymore until you can tell me what you would like for me to do.
Uh-huh. I had asked him because he does talk very loudly to the point where it hurts my ears.
Yeah. Well, then you may want to set a limit on it. So you know what? I've listened about all I can right now, and maybe if you want to talk about this again, we can set up a time, or preferably maybe in a counselor's office or something else, but I'm kind of at my limit here of all I can listen right now.
You know, my guess, Sue, is that their real anger is towards their father, and they don't know how, or they're unable to express it, so they come after you because you're the parent that's available. And I think you got to hear what Henry is saying and make that your whole response to whatever they do, because my guess is the anger they're showing at you is misdirected. And so when you say, you know, tell me what you want me to do, they really don't know what to do. So you work that, and you just keep repeating it.
I have a new term, and I'm really hoping it catches on. You know the helicopter parent? You've heard of the helicopter parent?
Mm-hmm. Is that the hovering one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The submarine dad. Not visible, but the impact is down under the surface. It's there.
Shooting those torpedoes out.
It's no one sees it because he's not around.
Yeah.
But it's there.
The and submarine how do you respond to that? So you respond to what you see, which is her.
Yeah. All right. So glad you called. Let's go to Amy from Cincinnati, Ohio. WCVX is the station. Hi, Amy.
Hi. How are you guys? Hope all is well. Here's my suggestion. I know you're busy. I'll get right to it. Instead of waiting until later months, December or whatever, to do your giving, I understand there are a million plus people who listen to the show. So I wanted to suggest to some people who weren't able to give other things or other amounts that maybe on the second day of every month, they would put $2 in an envelope, wrap some newspaper around it, some kind of paper around it, and address it to New Life. And that way, it would really, really, really help you guys get on your feet and stay on your feet.
Yeah, well, you just if we could get 100% participation.
Hey,
just
Amy.
$2, that would be great.
Amy, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Would you repeat that, like, for about a week or so?
Well, you have my permission to tape it and play it whenever you want to play it. If it fits your purposes. But I'm thinking that if we can get a million people to send $2 a month, just $2 a month, that's all, nothing more. Well, maybe a dollar, but at least $1 or $2 a month, That would be great.
That would be huge.
Right on.
And if they pray, and Lord, if you bless me financially, I'm going to up that $2. I'll double it to $4, and from $4 to $8. And you watch what God does with that. I did that one time when I was deeply in debt. I started out at 1%. And I said, God, if you allow me, I'll double it every chance I get. And sure enough, I just watched that go right up. The blessing came. Wow. And I know we don't tell people to give for financial blessing, but it is such an amazing thing how God does provide. Maybe not financially, but just in some amazing ways. So thank you for your idea, Amy. If you can help us, if you can support us, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or go to the website newlife.com. We'll be back right after this.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop. He is the author of Forgiving the Unforgivable. Dr. Henry Cloud, the author of many books, Boundaries, Boundaries with Kids, Boundaries in Marriage. All of that's available at newlife.com or just by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's talk to Carolyn from Boston, Massachusetts. WEZE is the station. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. What's happening?
Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Oh, go ahead.
What's happening in your life?
I just wanted to also say that I just went to a woman of faith in Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah.
And I got to see you, Henry Cloud, Dr. Henry Cloud.
Wasn't he great?
Yeah, it was wonderful. It was the best experience I've ever had.
Wow. That's
I heard him at Women of Faith this year, and I tell you, I don't think Henry's ever been better. Ever, Henry. And I've listened to you speak a lot over the years. Just fantastic.
That could mean several things.
Well, you're finally doing better.
You finally got it.
You finally listened.
I didn't mean it that way.
I've been listening all these years. Finally, I could sit through one.
I didn't mean it that way, but now that you say it, maybe that's a good way just to give you a hard time.
Oh,
all
gosh.
Right.
What a fun group, though, Carolyn. Yeah. I really, and Steve's done this, too. It's just such a fun group of, the audience, just the women that come there and they take that time off to look at growth and spiritual growth and God and be with each other. It's just a great time.
It sure is. Well, how can we help
wonderful.
You today?
Yeah, it was great because I actually wasn't planning on going, but I had a ticket that was gifted to me, which was wonderful. Wow. So.
That's a great thing. How can we help you today?
Yeah, I didn't want it to end. So, but thank you so much. I love listening to all of you. I think this has been one of the best programs. So I did give a one-time gift not too long ago, and I'll plan on giving more.
Thank you.
As soon as things get better.
Thank you.
But thank you. You've given me more than anybody.
Oh, I appreciate that.
God bless you all. And my question is, I was telling the person I talked to that there's a million questions because I'm going through a lot right now. But as far as the holidays go, I'm trying really hard just to kind of be thankful for what I do have, because a lot has happened, a lot of changes have happened in my life, and even going to that woman's, the
Woman of Faith.
Woman of Faith has really made me think. It's only made me realize even more what changes I have to make in my life concerning my family, my boyfriend, and just different circumstances that I've been going through. And I realize I've been very codependent, I guess, on my family and my boyfriend since I went through a divorce. And it's now been 8 years. So it's a long time.
So what's the question for us then?
The question would be, with Thanksgiving coming up, my family, they accept my boyfriend in some ways, but then a lot of my family, they don't want him around much.
What's not to accept about him?
He's just, he talks a lot. He's a good person. He has a good heart. I mean, he helps my mother out, my sister, myself. But they're just not comfortable around him, I guess you could say. And so he's not invited to both of my sisters who have, holiday get-togethers. He's not invited to their homes.
Wow, pretty radical.
I have to see him and then kind of go on my own and see my family.
No, wait a second. That's pretty radical that they would say, he makes me so uncomfortable, I'm going to not invite him. That's just interesting.
There's something else going on.
Yeah, what's that about? I mean, the guy talking too much, that doesn't seem like that would be the thing that would rule out him being part of the family on a celebration. Is there something else there?
That would make almost every family gathering impossible to go to, because usually every family has got somebody
that talks to you.
Yeah, it doesn't draw a breath, right?
Fortunately, my people still let me show up. So what is it that is so difficult to accept about him? If it's not talking too much, what does he talk about to them? Is he rude?
No, he's not. He's very comical. Like, he jokes around a lot.
Obnoxious.
I'm talking like jokes around, just like to be funny, not to make people laugh, not to make people feel bad or anything. It's just I think part of it is they don't feel like he's right for me. I think that's a lot of it.
So let's talk about that. What is it about him that wouldn't be right for you? Why would they say that?
One thing, this was another question I was going to ask when I was going to call later, but he lives at home with his mother.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere. How old is he?
53 years old.
Okay. So
he lives at home with his mother because his mother needs him to provide for her and take care of her?
In some ways, yes.
And in other ways, no?
Well, in other ways, he went through a divorce and he ended up being displaced, I guess you could say. And he has a son who's 22 and he was paying child support for him.
Oh, wait a minute. Sounds like that's different than what I said. I said he moved there because he was taking care of her. You're saying that she's taking care of him.
Kind of both ways, I guess you could say.
They're helping
each
other.
He does a lot for her, too.
What happened on the job front for him? How did he lose his job?
No, he's working. He just doesn't make enough money.
You know what it is, Carolyn? They don't want to see something different in your life. And I think what you've got to do is, maybe I'll tell you when we come back from the break.
Right.
Okay. Thank
You're listening
you.
To New Life Live. If you can help us stay on the air here, we would love for you to help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com would be the place to call. give us a gift, and we'll send you Beyond Boundaries.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Okay, we're back. Now, Carolyn, we've been thinking about this boyfriend of yours, and Dave has some thoughts.
Well, I'm just wondering, Carolyn, if you told your sisters, hey, if he can't come, then I probably won't come either. What would happen?
That would be hard for me, I'd say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I don't see my family that much. We've gone through a lot of conflict in the last since April, when a lot of changes took place in my family.
What happened in April?
My sister, who's special needs, she's 39, and I was her personal care assistant. Mm-hmm. And I was her PCA for 8 years, and my mother was married at the time, not to my father, but to my stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even call him that. He's not even worth that. But anyway, he wasn't a very nice person. He was very abusive and verbally abusive towards me, towards my mother, towards my sister, who has special needs. And so finally, my mother did make the right move in getting him out and going through a divorce. But then before that took place, my other sister and I had to take my sister and put her in a group home, which was very tough. And but we did it for her protection because my mother wouldn't do what she needed to do. And then finally she did go through with it, but not fast enough, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now the situation is my mother's divorced. My sister's in a group home. The family's gone through a really, really tough time, and we're not really talking as much and not really seeing each other as much. And I'm out of work. You know, I lost my job. So things are really, really tough. And I live with one of my sisters, which, you know, is very difficult as it is.
So it sounds like to me.
I realized I've become codependent on my family.
Yeah.
And just, my life has been stuck for 8 years, and my boyfriend's stuck in his situation.
Yeah, it sounds like to me they would like to see you, perhaps, if you're going to date, that you would date somebody that would have a little bit more going for them rather than someone that's in this same stuck situation.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And so if that's the case, you can't really blame them for not wanting you to be around someone that's still living with mom at 53.
Right.
Well, and
in fact, that joke that you were saying about, well, the one with your daughter, when Henry,
yeah.
and you said that your daughter said, you know, I don't want to be with a guy who's on his mom's couch. I mean, I really, right. that really mm-hmm. hit me hard.
Okay, all right.
Because it made me realize, you know, and I'm now putting boundaries on him. Big time about things,
good.
You know.
Because it sounds like your relationship with him isn't as meaningful or as strong that you would, you know, you would reject your family for him. And
it's a good thing
that you know. There were two ways to answer my question, and you answered it the one way, which says, "Okay, he's a good friend, but he's not a keeper necessarily at this stage." So. Then I just do what you do and go to your family.
Okay.
Because I think I was in a, like a, as they say, a fantasy thinking, you know, that we were going to get married, you know, and that kind of thing. And now I just see him. He just recently had to get another car, and he's helping his mother with the yard and doing things for his family. And you know what I mean? And I'm thinking, okay, I can't go through another year like
Carolyn.
This. I mean, I've given
Carolyn.
8 years.
Carolyn, what if you untethered the two? I mean, you got your family on one side, and you got, you know, your dating life on the other side, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what if you said you want to have the best relationships possible with your family, and you kind of work out, you know, whether you go or not go or bring him or don't bring him, kind of based on what you need and want and are trying to build with them. And then you look at your dating life, and you look at him, and y'all talk it out, and you talk about what you want and what you don't want and all that kind of stuff, and you see where you land, and you deal with him based on whether or not he comes around to what the things that are important to you and the boundaries you talked about. And if he does, great, and he turns into what you want, then great. But the problem is when people get caught in the middle and start kind of like defining what they're going to do on one side of their life because of the pressure that they're getting from the other side, and they're not dealing with the other side in the way that they need to deal with it. You follow me?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I realize I've made a lot of mistakes because I've enabled this to continue.
Well, just do the right thing in both situations is my point. Don't let one define the other.
You know, I don't know if there's a fairy tale about this. There should be. About three sisters who two of them felt like they couldn't get mommy's attention, and so they went out and married princes. And then the one that got all of mommy's attention brought in a real dud, and they loved it that she was going to marry the dud because they were going to look good to mom now with their princes, and she was going to look bad. And so they encouraged her to marry the dud. Well, see, they didn't love their sister. If I were you, I would go this Thanksgiving and tell your sisters how much you appreciate their love for you, that they care about who you date and who you're with, and they want the best for you.
Right.
Because that's what's going on. They want the best for you.
Mm-hmm. And that's real clear in the way you responded to that.
Okay.
All right.
Good. All right. That sounds good. Thank you so
much. And I don't think, Steve, I don't think you're saying...
Yeah.
I don't think you're saying he's a dud, right?
No, I was saying in the fairy tale there was a dud.
Right. But Carolyn, I would go back to defining what you want in life and talking to him about that and the kind of behaviors that you're looking for in a man and the kind of things that that are deal breakers and this, that, and the other. And if he steps up, then great. And if he doesn't, then that's what dating is about.
Yeah. My fairy tale was just about the fact that sometimes siblings don't want the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so they detach and they don't care.
They do the opposite.
And she's got a family that does care. They
did,
are.
Did you make that fairy tale up?
I did.
Because I never heard that one before, so you had to have made a good fairy tale.
Thank you. All right.
Steve was a contributor to Ace House. You know.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Grimm's Fairy Tales, too.
I
think Aesop channeled me in a different life. I'm not really sure, but I'll check on it. Let's go to Linda, Colorado Springs, Colorado. KGFT is the station there. Hi there.
Hello, how are you?
Great, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Not really, or I wouldn't be calling.
What's going on?
Well, anyway, my husband, I have been married to my husband for almost 29 years next month, I found out a month or so ago, a couple months, probably August, that he has been sexually molested by a priest when he was 13 years old.
Never told you about it?
Never told me about it, never told anybody about it. I mean, he carried this around with him for 40 years. And How we finally, how it finally came out was, I told him that I was going to leave him. You know, if you don't talk to me, if we don't go to counseling, I'm leaving. And I actually did leave for a little while, but I came back because, well, it's a long story. But anyway.
You were going to leave. Why?
I'm sorry?
Why were you going to leave?
Because I just have not been happy for a long period of time, and he will not help himself.
And that's before you knew about the molestation?
Well, finally he told me, you know, and...
So you knew something was wrong and he wouldn't
talk.
Well,
I knew something was wrong and, you know, I kept saying to myself, what has happened to this man to make him like this? You know, what has happened to him in his life to make him the way he is? And, you know, I put up with a lot over the years, but I love the man and I love God and I want to make my marriage work. But I told him that we need to go to counseling. And so we were going to counseling with, we only went twice, but that is when this actually came out, that he had been abused.
Okay.
Because we had to fill out this questionnaire, and we are going to Christian counseling. Our pastor and his wife are Christian counselors.
Okay, so how can we help you today?
Well, he won't go anymore. How do I get him to go? I mean, it's like he doesn't want to talk about it. He says, I don't want to talk about it. Now you know what's wrong with me, and I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to deal with it.
Hey, Linda, what are the problems in the marriage?
Other problems in the marriage?
No, I said, what are they? When I asked you why you were going to leave, what you said was you're not happy.
Right.
Okay? That's not like a specific marriage problem. What are the reasons, the issues?
The issues. Okay, well, one issue is the way he is. You know, he hates everybody. He hates everything. He gets up in the morning and he's crabby and he has a terminal illness.
Mm.
And he's on medication and he has hepatitis C, and it has not progressed to cirrhosis yet, but you know, he's been living with this since 1999, so he knows what's coming. But he keeps himself healthy. He goes to work every day, which I don't know what he's going to do if he ever can't work. And I had been to a woman's retreat with our church, and when I came back from the retreat, I just felt like God was telling me that I needed to get out of the way.
All right, hold on. We'll talk to you a little bit more about this. You're listening to New Life Live. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We've got Healing is a Choice coming up in January. If you're struggling with depression, anxiety, great place to go. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back talking to Linda, whose husband is just not a very, very healthy guy. And so here he has a terminal illness, and he's been this way all the time. You were going to leave. Now, what is the plan for you?
Well, I'm hanging out. I'm praying every day, and I'm trying to, converse with him and mm-hmm. tell him that we still, he needs to forgive God for allowing this to happen to him. And he's not there, and I told him the only way you're going to get there is if you go to counseling.
How old is he?
54.
Hey, Linda, the problem is you're making him the problem. And he doesn't want to be the problem because he knows he's the problem. He doesn't think it's fixable. So one of the things I would do is back off in trying to fix him. And I would say we have problems in our marriage, and we need to be going to counseling together. And we don't need to talk about what happened to you when you were 13. We can tell the counselor you don't want to talk about that. But we've got enough issues between us that we have to work on that are as much my fault as it is your fault, and we've got to sort that out and see if that doesn't change his reaction. Because I think one of the reasons men don't want to go to marriage counseling is because they're convinced that they are going to be labeled the problem, and that's not fair, because in a marriage relationship it takes two for everything to happen, and because everything becomes a cycle that you both feed into.
Well,
so talk to him about that and see if he's more open.
And then
to
also,
it.
I want to make the point that if he's gone from age 13 to 54 and he's never talked about this thing, he finally comes out and says it, maybe he just needs a little time before he's ready to go beyond saying it happened to discussing it fully.
Yeah, and if he was willing to go back, I'd say, I will tell the counselor, we don't need to talk about that for now because it's too fresh. We have other things that we want to work on.
Well, and I'm willing to take my part of the responsibility for, 100%, I mean, it's 100% me, 100% him. And it's just hard every day to get through the day,
See, he's not grumpy in the morning. He's not a negative, depressed person because he was molested at 13. That's a factor, but that doesn't explain everything. There's other reasons for that to be there.
Well, and I agree with that.
There's a lot to work on with a counselor that just doesn't even deal with the molestation at this stage. And it may come up later when he's more comfortable and more, trusting with the counselor. It may not, but you can certainly improve it because it's out on the table, so you know something. And he's talked about you can certainly improve the rest of the relationship.
Henry, you have a thought?
Yeah, Linda, I think like David's saying, if you make him the problem, you need to go to therapy and you need to fix this molestation thing, and this is that. I've not often seen that work or be helpful, because you're trying to push somebody into something that for whatever reason they're scared or threatened to feel bad about. So he's going to dig in. I would take a different approach, like Dave is talking about. That's it's really not about him, it's about you. Where Linda says, and this is what I was trying to get to earlier about the specificity of solvable problems. See, you can't fix his molestation results.
No.
Okay?
I know,
but
I can't.
Right. So think about specific actionable problems that are affecting you and take ownership of those. And whereas Linda wakes up in the morning and she finds herself interacting with somebody that's angry and negative and this, that, and the other. And so Linda, you know what? I don't want to feel that way anymore. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to wake up and not know how to help you. I don't want to wake up and it feels like whatever I say, it's not going to get anywhere. I would like for us to go get some help and find out how we can get along well, how we can be a team, how we can listen to each other. And you take specific desires and you move from the negative to the positive. Instead of, you know, I don't want you to be grumpy or stop being this or stop being that. You make a positive, actionable step forward where you can say, here's what I would like. I would like for us to start to have fun. I would like for us to understand each other. I'd like for us to connect. I'd like for us to. And you give a path of something, especially with a man, that's actionable that he feels like he might could join. And that okay. might get him there.
Okay. Well, our church just had a class on the five languages of love. Well, he wouldn't even go with me, so I went by myself because I thought, well, maybe I can figure out what his language is, you know. But I feel like I'm doing all the work, and he's not doing any work at all.
Well, try what I'm talking about. Give specific requests. Say, I would like for you to have breakfast together and let's talk about our dreams, or let's talk about this, or I would like for us to do this. And then, you know, after doing that for a while, then you have some kind of objective evidence that's not, it's not nagging and judgment and criticism, but it's, you know what, I've asked for this and this and this and this, and it's not happening, and I really feel alone. And I need.
I'm there already.
I know you're there, but I'm trying to get you to communicate it in a different way.
Okay.
And so then, at some point, then you would go to a counselor,
well,
and you begin
I'm
to
hold on. To go.
Hold no, on listen. A second. You would go to a counselor, and you begin to figure out, okay, what are the consequences going to be for what's going on in this relationship? Because the only consequence you've had is, you know, that you're going to divorce, right? And so there are other consequences. For example, if you're home and you've asked him to connect and this, that, and the other, he's not do it, you say, you know what, I would really be like to be with you, but we're not talking, and I want to talk to somebody, so I'm going to go over and go to the movies with my friends.
Yeah, and I do all that, too. I do not do okay. anything because of him.
Well, right, but what I'm trying to get you to do is to link it to specifics of behaviors and requests denied.
Yeah. Okay.
And that might wake him up.
All right. Just got a couple of minutes left. If you need some help, if you're troubled about the holidays coming up, call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. We've got a wonderful book, Beyond Boundaries. It's John Townsend's new book, Beyond Boundaries. We've got Healing is a Choice coming up January 20, 21, and 22. What a great way to kick off the new year. And another way is to consider, pray about, if God is leading you to support this ministry in some way or another. We definitely need your help. And if you can help us, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can give online at newlife.com. Dave, in our final minute here, can you share some of God's wisdom with us here?
Well, I was just looking at Psalm 118 at the end there. He affirms, you are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And I've just been so impressed recently with the emphasis even that Paul puts on love as being the hallmark of a follower of Christ.
Right.
And here the psalmist is saying, you know, his faithful love endures forever, and because it does, I can be one who knows how to love as well.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Thanks, Henry. Thanks for all of you that have called in. We're going to do another program right after this. So if you're on the line, hold on. We'll try to get to your phone call right after this. You are listening to New Life Live. And if you can help us, please call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to that website, newlife.com. See you next time. Hope Thanksgiving's going to be good for you. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
For listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program,
call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.